You know, with me experiencing being a transformation coach, I've discovered that people really want to be better. And a lot of times people are not shown the way, but they're thrown into the way. Of any sorts, we have to meet people right there, right where they are. That's the only way we'll be able to really push for effective change. We really want to be better, and we gotta help each other get there, y'all,
because the world needs to see it.
What's good, family? Please listen, do me a favor. If you have not already, please like and subscribe to the podcast. That's how I grow. That's how I make this thing bigger. That's how I make this thing better. So if you are watching and you have not subscribed or liked, please, please do me a favor. Like and subscribe to this podcast. Ray Bridging Hermans is the place where the people get to hear you and the world gets to see it.
We back for part two of Ray Bridging Hermans. It's the place where the people get to hear you and the world get to see it. Man, y'all. We had to take a little pause, a little break. But y'all, I promise to God, like this is the conversation that I knew we needed to have, but I really didn't know why we needed to have. And I see. And I'm so thankful for y'all.
Appreciate
thank
y'all,
you,
y'all
thank
words,
you,
bro.
Thank you.
And being willing to be honest and transparent, man. We pushed the gas on the first episode. We're gonna push it a little further. Yeah. We're gonna push it a little further. On this episode, thank y'all for watching. Thank y'all for sharing. Thank you for, and if you have not shared, if you have not subscribed to the podcast, please like and subscribe. Ray Bridging Hermans is Ray Bridging Hermans, man. But back to the conversation, fellas.
Yes, sir.
Man, bro, like
let's go.
Let's get it, man. I wanted to kind of pick back up on the conversation here. How can the church community create a more supportive environment when we're talking about uplifting Black men and encouraging Black men to be expressive in ministry? What can the church do in your mind, or what can they foster? What kind of environment can as the body of Christ foster with supporting Black men being into expression?
I believe 80% of knowing something is listening. So I would have to say it would start with listening. Listening beyond the four walls of the church.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Period. Really knowing the state that people are in or men are in and how they feel and making it a safe environment for a man to feel safe to express himself.
Wow.
Piggyback off of what he said. To go a little further, not only allowing men in the church to have that avenue, but take it out, like you said, take it outside the four walls. Invite those Black men who don't normally go to church and get their perspective as it pertains to being a Black man. Because sometimes being a Black man in the church, we all got the same experience.
Wow.
So your conversations are limited.
Wow.
But when you get Joseph or Tyrone or Pookie around the corner, who comes in, who don't go to church, mm-hmm. and you get their perspective of how it is to be a Black man, and compared to Deacon John, you get more knowledge. You walk away with two options,
mm-hmm.
Deacon John's perspective and Pookie's perspective, mm-hmm. and that makes you a better person to me.
Even the Hebrew Israelites, now this is a group that I don't subscribe to at all, mm-hmm. but I respect them so much because they know their stuff.
Yeah.
You go to listen, one night I was leaving the cigar bar around the corner and they were on the corner. They said, "Hey brother, you know who you are?" I'm like, "Bro, hey." But it was like 10:30 at night on 2nd Street. And I'm like,
"This is early."
Wow. Right, right. But they was out there with their little stuff on. Yeah. And I'm like, man, bro, like sometimes, you know, I think that's indicative to the issue we see in church spaces with men, and I think so much of it caters to, you know, women, honestly. You know, and I think even having a nonprofit for Black men in the city of Memphis, I can admit that it is difficult right, to get men to participate. When you talk about transparency, when you talk about vulnerability, I'm not finna talk about my shit in front of, you know,
other men.
Other men. Yeah. Like, no, I'm not finna do that, you know. And I co-found a organization, and this I'm going back into the conversation, but I co-found an organization with my brother Richmond George, and one of the biggest issues we had, you know, we were crazy enough to believe that we could get straight men and gay men to join together to sit down and discuss problems. But that was our biggest issue. Now we focus on kids,
right.
And that's, you know. And that was one of the biggest issues for men to, because it was like, you know, well, I don't know, these sisters around me, bro, I ain't finna do that. And then the gay men like, oh, well, you know, I don't feel comfortable with saying what I'm saying because he ain't gonna like it. So we're having to like divide it into like subsections. But I said all that to say, bringing it back to the church conversation, church choir conversation, I think that this has always been a topic that we have run from as black people.
Right.
It's always been something that we're so, that's so taboo. And with a black male being into creative arts or just being a singing in general, like that's always been a thing. And I think that the detrimental part, if y'all can chime in on this, man, the detrimental part is, like, I started singing because I, like, my mama taught me to love God so much, to serve God, to praise God, to worship Him. And I didn't know that I was going to get all the flack from doing that.
The collateral damage.
Yes.
You know, man, to kind of answer the question that you asked about what the church could do, I preached a sermon one time, man, called How Big Is Your Want To?
Wow.
So that's my answer to that. I mean, how big is the want to of the church to even want to address stuff that we're addressing?
Wow.
I mean, do you really want to talk about it? Because you're going to do what you want to do. So if you don't want to address it, your church going to dodge it.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to dodge the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It don't matter how many of us are part of the church, they're going to dodge that. They don't want to have that conversation.
Right.
Now, you do have a lot of churches who are more open to having forums like this. And there ain't a lot of them. But, you know, they're open to having forums like this. But, I mean, man, how big is your want to? Either you want to do it or you don't want to do it. Which is why I think, you know, what you're doing, not only with this episode, but with all the podcasts you've done before and the ones that we've even talked about that you're going to do, that's why I think it's so hugely important, man, because it takes a village to address the kind of stuff we address. And this ain't just your normal church conversation.
Absolutely.
No, it's not.
You know, this ain't coming to church, praise team song, we took up an offering, the preacher preached, and then we dismissed. That ain't this conversation.
No.
You know, so and a lot of times when people get pulled away from church or get burned out on church is that the realness has been replaced by the show.
Absolutely.
Wow.
So I ain't interested in the show.
Wow.
You know, I can sit at home. I got a nice 85 inch and I live.
Yeah.
So I mean, I can sit at home and watch the show on TV.
Right. Right.
Several episodes. I can go from one to the next to the next. I can get three services in this hour and a half. But you know, for me to really go and be a part of it, it's got to be something there for me. And a lot of people, you know, that's my age and younger are just getting burnt out on that. I mean, I don't need you trying to view who I am when I'm simply up here trying to praise God.
Can it be, I want to share this with you. We sung in ministry together for years. Do you not know that I did not see myself as equal to you?
Wow.
Until maybe like I was like maybe 37. I always saw myself as Lord because of a gay man. Like and being in my shoes, like I was conditioned. Like my mindset was always conditioned. Because like being walking in shoes like mine, like it's like so taboo, right, and it's never really addressed, but I automatically took second place. Seriously. Right. I automatically took second place to a man like you. And that is just the honest to God truth. But I had to grow to a place and a space where I could get beyond that. And I really started loving myself, because I think that ministry, churches, preachers, pastors do an incredible job at telling people what they feel like they shouldn't do, right, or what they shouldn't do.
Right.
But we miss so much at putting essential self-esteem, self-awareness,
right,
self-confidence into people. And we talked about this, and I want to hear y'all thoughts on this, but we talked about this before y'all got here. So much of the leading is, so we lead so much with obedience and compliance.
Absolutely.
But we don't lead enough with accountability. Absolutely. And empathy. We don't lead with that. And so if all you're doing is telling me what I should be doing or how I should be, but you don't show me, you don't walk with me the way Christ walked with people, bro, get out.
Mm-hmm. So let me say this. So I'm feeling some kind of way about that.
Man.
I'm reversing, because Kenneth said, he asked you, when you said what you said, Kenneth said, why?
Mm-hmm.
I heard I heard mm-hmm. what you said, mm-hmm. but I want to hear what Kenneth thinks. Why you said
it? Yeah. Wow. So my why is behind the relationship that we had at New D. So at no point in our relationship would I have ever thought that you were feeling that way because of how close we were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, going back to the choir thing, when you're a tenor in a choir, get it straight. Y'all in tennis section.
Yeah.
So you don't try to make it competitive, right, but don't nobody bowl like us. You know,
right,
you
right, exactly.
So you
right.
got a closeness with yeah. the brothers, whether they straight or gay.
And you're talking to an OG.
My
OG.
You know what I'm saying? So when you said that, it shocked me because of how close I know we are.
Yeah.
And how close I know we were in New D. And you never showed it.
Never.
That was nothing about you that said, okay, you know, ain't nothing timid about you, no way.
Nah.
But there was nothing about you that said, you know, I'm kind of feel, you know, me and you, we were always right here. So to hear you say that is just very, it tells me that you just never know where a person's
mind is.
You can assume where they are,
yeah.
but you just, until you have conversations like this, you just really, really never know where a person is.
That's true. It's funny that you say that. I was in the middle course at church growing up, and I led two songs in the middle course. Very odd songs for a middle course, but it was It's Gonna Rain by Milton Brunson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Yolanda Adams, My Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And, you know, back when I was coming up, 3 o'clock programs was the thing, especially mm-hmm. middle course musicals.
Right.
All the time.
Yeah.
Guess what they were saying? My Liberty. And a quartet song, but right. it was always My Liberty. And I remember being a kid and like seeing schoolmates at the church. And I would be, and although the people are like really, really like into me singing My Liberty, I was hurting on the inside. Like, I mean, I could sing the same, but I was hurting on the inside because what is my friend thinking out there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or not feeling like a man because I'm in a choir with the other 30 men, but this man singing I Learned to Lean, you know, or this man singing Chilly Winds Don't Blow. He's singing a man song. They made me a girl song.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, dang.
The song's
wow.
like that. And
wow.
although.
Wow. I'm sorry.
And although the wow. people are like in tune,
wow.
and
wow.
even until this day at 34, it was brought up in church. You know, Dennis started singing these
wow.
songs with the male chorus. And it was a thing to hear me sing My Liberty. But
wow.
on the inside, I mean, I was happy and blessed, you know, happy about the gift that I had, but naturally, as growing up, trying to find myself and trying to really develop and who Dennis is, that was a struggle.
Did that come after, or did you catch it right then?
It was when I was right then. I was 10. Actually, my dad gave me the song My Liberty.
Wow.
And he said, "Here, learn this song." And I remember the men's day. Like, I mean, everybody was just up. And it, from there, it was like, we're going to Great White Stone, My Liberty. We're going to Bernie Bush, My Liberty. Yeah, yeah. We're going to sing on the corner, My Liberty. Like, I knew it was going to happen.
Wow.
And each time I did, and it's the truth, this is my first time actually verbalizing this.
Wow.
I was happy to do it and blessed, but I felt a level of conviction because I should be happy and blessed about it, but I'm kind of struggling with myself as a guy. Because now I'm like, you know, I'm looking at girls, I'm kind of looking the other way too. And this is kind of confirming something. I almost felt like this is how I had to be because you're setting me up.
Wow. Wow.
That's deep.
That's deep right there.
I've never even thought about like a man singing a woman song. Like,
me neither.
Like, and like how that impacted you and how, but
behind a bunch of men.
Man.
But I mean, you know what? It's a, like, so many questions like that. You know,
yeah, okay.
It's like, I want to see it. You got it? Like, it's.
Wow.
You know.
But what's crazy is that if I saw you singing that with the male chorus, I would never think that.
I would have never thought of it.
Without you saying it just now.
Well,
that was going to be my question.
You laughed. You girl.
I would have too.
I mean, like, imagine. Because here's the thing. You want a girlfriend, you know, you just find a girl out there. Like, I used to, for communion, I would sing the blood that Jesus shed for me. That's, and so my mom sang it every communion.
Right.
But then when she got called to the ministry, she would serve communion with my pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave it to me.
Wow.
So there literally, and this is a true story, there was a girl at the church. She was light skinned, pretty hair, like, that was my baby. You know, now she misses me. But I liked her. She got the church just enough the time. And when I started liking her, I started kind of feeling embarrassed to sing. Because it's not me singing, I go if I have to go, like, you know, with the brothers. I'm singing the blood, you know, in the same key as my mama.
Yeah.
You know, the same vibrato, the same everything.
So is that in your head? Or do you feel like they just figured this would, because
it's voice. It's more so, very little, no, it was in my head, but the reason why it was in my head is I go to school.
Okay.
And I see how if you're not playing sports, or you're not doing this, you're not doing that. Now, not only are you a singer, you're a singer with range. And you are the one that the grown-ups are, you know, they don't understand that peer pressure, so they're going to always point you out. They're going to pick you the same thing. Gotcha. They're going to, you know, what you, I ain't saying I believe I can fly. I'm saying what about children?
But
you know, like.
But you're feeling like that even today?
No, I'm in a damn today. It is what it is. And it takes a level of confidence in accepting who you are. I actually, Baptist Church, you still had me in that. And I go to church with a lot of fraternity people,
you know,
lawyers, doctors, you know, deacons, and all of that. And to be honest, that was one of the most humbling experiences to be the chairman for me. That's a big thing in my church.
Right,
when they ask you
to
be the chairman, and they used to have a culture that I'm out there, you do it all by yourself. The money that was raised, just the ideas that were brought, they really loved and embraced me, and I was just being dense. It wasn't me, you know, trying to be macho with them or anything like that. We used to wear suits for me today. And that particular one, t-shirts, blazer, jeans, like, you know.
Tennis shoes.
They were happy.
But I will speak to your point, though, then the stigma that's associated now. Now, I'm real big for the group. I'm real big now on lived experience. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, like, just for this group alone, like, for us to hear each other's lived experience and actually believe what our brother is saying. You know, that's one thing. But another thing is to see that when you have to see the world, and this is what intersectionality is about.
Mm-hmm.
We have to see the world as one as black men.
Absolutely.
Then we have to see the world as black men who could be queer or not, but to see the world from multiple lens, to have to see the world from the other lens. So I love this education now in this minute. And like these men truly like, damn, bro. Like,
nah.
I ain't really.
You know what? You know why?
I ain't really.
But you know why it's like that? Because me and Ken are a little older. And we see stuff a little different. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
We didn't, like I said, I didn't see a lot of stuff which y'all saw. You know what I mean? I just.
Well, a lot of stuff was internal struggles.
Sometimes we put
more on ourselves than others may have.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Because we I feel like sometimes as gay men, we have to do 10 times more to be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to be able to sing a soprano note and an alto note and a tenor note, it's like,
you can sing.
You think you're something. I'm just able to do it.
You're just able to do it.
Yeah.
That's it.
And
it's just that simple.
It's just
but you know what? To Larry's point, we just don't see that. So I don't know. Okay. I don't know if that's because, you know, we got a community choir.
You're the experience.
But I mean, right. If we're in the choir with you and, you know, you've shown that you can sing all the parts, that ain't unusual for us, even though it probably ain't but you that can do that.
Yeah.
But we wouldn't look at it. I mean, like in the voices.
We sing alto.
First thing to come to me is Leota's.
Yeah.
So Leota's.
Not for Lee.
Leota's was always the alto on the
floor. He was.
And could blow. True. Harder than any alto that was down there.
Yes, sir.
And that wasn't unusual. Even when I first got in the choir, I'm like, damn, he can sing.
Yeah.
But
with a perm.
But I didn't look at him like, okay, that's strange.
Yeah.
You know that
yeah.
he's singing alto. Yeah. So I saw you
sing. He had the baddest hairdo.
He had deep.
So for us, it wouldn't be unusual.
But it's different, like growing up, like you said, in school.
Growing up. Yeah.
And you can do those things in school.
Right.
In the church, people accept it. Okay, they sing.
Right.
In school, you do that.
School?
Oh, he got the deep. What's wrong with
this? This is
all. What's wrong
with
this?
But see, when you all were coming, not trying to call y'all.
No, you
guys is old.
Yeah.
When you all were coming up, were children really in a choir like that? Were they really put on forefront like that?
But the thing is, we didn't recognize. If it was, we didn't see it.
Right. No, I agree.
I'm serious.
I didn't see it. Because I feel like music and choirs and all of that kind of evolved by the time Sherman and I, or even Ray, you know, were coming up. You know, I was born in the 90s.
Right.
So, you know, at that time, a lot had already kind of.
Lord, I know it's a guy. You a
bad. I'm only 21.
I'm only 21.
No, but see, I was born in 1990, so that's how I was, you know.
Oh, no, Doc.
So, the things were a little, different at that time. So.
This got to be different, because I was born in 1970, so they just came out of the. It was. I think it was still going on with the racial stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. No, it was.
And I didn't even know it.
Yep.
Until now, I'm reading and seeing what's going on. You know what I'm saying? So no, I didn't. Me and Ken, I didn't see it. I didn't see it like that.
And
I ain't gonna lie to you. My parents didn't even say nothing about white people.
Wow, that's real. That's real. And we cannot have this conversation without mentioning this. I got one of my associates, he lives in D.C.,
mm-hmm.
he did a monument last year.
Mm-hmm.
They allowed him to put the monument on the mall in Washington, in Washington, but they allowed him to do it. Now I'll show y'all, I'll look it up and show y'all. Mm-hmm. But he made a monument of all of the choir leaders that died of AIDS. And in the 90s and 80s, and those unsung heroes that everybody got saved to, you shouted to, you ministered their favorite songs to, and they lost their lives
from that
to AIDS, you know, and to never get acknowledged to, you know, they always like everybody knew, but then it was really no conversation. But when they died, he was sick
because it was hidden.
Right, it was hidden. So I said that to say, you know, like we all are a community.
I thought that we sometimes we're put on the platform as a means a prophet.
Wow.
There you go. Church.
You get people, get them there.
Man,
you
stirring
the
up some stuff.
That's
another podcast.
Right. And you get them.
Part 3.
And right. It's like, are y'all pouring me out?
Man. Wow.
Because, yes, we can blow the roof off the church ceiling, but when we meet y'all in our darkest moments, are y'all going to be able to cry with us?
It's called the hands. It's called pimping. Wow. It's pimping your anointing.
Not just single mothers. But us, the men, straight, gay, bi, or how you identify, are you going to be there as our leader to walk us through it?
Wow. Wow.
Sermon.
So, I mean, I'm at a point now, it's like, don't hold me up.
But no, but you saying something that I don't see.
Yeah, bro.
You're younger, so you see things more than, you know what I'm saying? Remember, you see a lot more than what men.
Yeah.
I don't know about Kenny, but what you just said, never thought about that.
Because, I mean, growing up, we didn't have a space to talk. Mm-hmm.
We did.
If your dad wasn't in your life, what man were you talking to?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm blessed and grateful, thank you, Red, for being there for me and my brother. But had we not had him, who's that going to talk to? Wow. My grandfather's older, stuck in his ways.
He wasn't supposed to do, yeah.
Not to blame him, but... Yeah. They didn't have that foresight to talk to somebody.
And that goes back. Listen. And that goes back to what Ryan was talking about. He got mothers asking him about a podcast he did not too long ago. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
about that. Yeah, kids want to be in the choir.
Yeah.
And what Larry is referring to, all the mothers who's watching, thank y'all so much. But I've had a lot of mothers come to me about their sons singing in the church, but that's how deep this goes. And so we're doing this, not even for us right now, but we're doing this for the ones that come after us, because we know church is a thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that community is a thing. And so we're trying to till up some of this soil, because some of this stuff needs to be talked about. Otherwise, you know, it'll be a dying institution. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
You know, right? My frustration with church is that we even having this conversation today.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Even today, that you still got mothers whose sons are concerned about singing in the choir. Yeah. Back in me and Larry's day, I get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This 2025,
right?
Why are these babies, are these boys concerned about, you know, with the freedom and the outwardness that everything is in today's society? Are you still concerned about saying what kind of stigmatism is out there that you still in 2025 concerned about being, you know, a boy that sings in the choir?
Because those back conversations after church. Man. Auntie and grandma talking about Jesse.
That is crazy. In 2025,
so if I'm a young man who found my voice, I can sing.
Right.
Let me join the choir. Nope, grandma and auntie talking about Jesse. I ain't joining the choir. I know.
That's crazy to me.
So we have to have our own accountability of what conversations we have around our kids.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Because they listen.
Right. That's a part 4.
Right. Wow.
I'm so serious. Yeah, go ahead.
But see, a part 5 of it all is that really growing up in a Baptist church, still there. Not really my church, but just churches, period. I feel like churches have just kind of stopped growing and just kind of
stagnant.
Oh, and that plays a major part in the growth. A lot of it, I don't even think it's really, you know, the stigmatism of just being in the choir. It's just the growth and the openness of the church across the board, where people don't want to be involved. It's, you know, or it's not as convenient for, you know, because think about it, 30 years ago, you didn't have social media, technology, and a lot of those things. Yeah. So church was more kind of demanding and was something to do. Now we have a lot of other things going, but the church is kind of, as a whole, it's just stuck. You know, you should want to go to church. You should want to participate. You should want to this. You should just want to do it. And that's just, you know, and that's another horse of another color. But
you can ask yourself, what am I getting out of it?
Right. What am I getting?
What are you giving me?
And they don't. It feels like they don't care. What you're getting out of is the blessing, the right to live. Yeah, just, you know, just the. It's beyond, to me, it's just beyond the stigmatism of sexuality or just the way it makes you look. Church ain't the same anymore across the board.
And you talking to somebody who don't even participate in it anymore, like that. But I would definitely say that, like, it's built in my foundation, you know, and as somebody who grew up loving it and still love it to this day, but don't participate in it, I can honestly say I still love it, you know, and I would love for it to keep thriving. Nevertheless, like, these changes that we're sitting here and discussing today, like some changes need, some conversations need to be had. Listen. Social, like, everybody got everything at the palm of their hand.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Information. We're in an information age. And digital. So there's no way we can stay in a position of secrecy on anything.
Right.
Because, man, because we see everything now. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, as we have continued this conversation, you know, and it has got much deeper, it's got much deeper, and I love it. I know that if we do not, like, truly, seriously change, like, it took me, y'all never been in, like, a bad relationship or a relationship that didn't go good?
Uh-huh.
Twice.
Let me tell you my story.
You couldn't see the depth or what was going on with the relationship until you got.
Oh, God.
Yep, you did.
And I know this is so hard. I know I'm going to get tore up for this, but now some people can see, you know, in it. So I'm not taking that away, but if until you get, like, away from something that's harming you, you can't really see the depth of the issue. And just simple fact, I just told my brother, who I've been knowing 20 years now, you know, like, I didn't see myself as equal to him. You hear me? And so that mean I've been knowing you my whole 20s, all of my 20s, all of my 20s, Ken. I knew this man. I've served with this man. I've sung beside this man. I've cried with this man. I've prayed with this man. And I did not see myself is equal to him until, like, my mid-30s. And so I said that to say, I felt like I was in emotional slavery for years.
Wow.
And there was no direction. There was no, oh, you know, I feel like you're this, but, bro, you're still valid. You're still a man. You're still, like in a position to where we gonna respect you and love you and see you and give you the same opportunity.
Wow.
And it took me to my mid-30s to get there. That's an issue. Within an institution that we all collectively love. We did not plan for this conversation to go through.
I know.
but it went here, and I'm so thankful. That's the purpose of this podcast. And listen, all you critics, and I'm gonna just tell y'all this, and I want to hear from y'all. I love the Word of God. I read the Word of God. I study the Word of God. I got an altar set up right upstairs and then room right there. And y'all, we've run out on telling somebody what they need to do, but we have not done life with people. Jesus walk with people.
Yes,
and I'm going to say this, and I want to hear y'all. I'm going to shut up. Jesus did not stand in front of people and beckon them here. He did not stand over here and say, y'all come here. Jesus walked alongside. So when you walk alongside somebody, you see they good.
You see their bad. Yeah. You see their mess ups. You see their mistakes. That's how the Christ that we love and serve, that's how he walked with people. And so, like, I wish that the institution I love so much, that we would really get back to the heart of walking with people.
Reciprocity. I want to hear y'all.
I'm out.
It's funny that you say that. And this just hit my head. 10 years ago, it was the third Sunday in February, I decided to go to another church. I went to one of my really close friends' church. Badass tenor, I mean, can blow it for the game. And I never forget, I walked in there doing announcements, and right after announcements, they're saying, "Oh my God." And he just blows saying to me. And when they finished the song, the pastor of the church got up to preach. And he was talking about sin.
Okay.
I'm one of those people, when it comes down to talking about gay people in church or just sin, period. You know, the Bible is the Bible, sin is sin. You know, you got your opinion, I got mine. It doesn't really move me and bother me. And I watched this man talk about sex before marriage, this and that, that and that. We got to being gay. This man literally, I lost all respect for him since then. I watched this man literally cringe as if it was a disgust. Just he was just disgusted by two men. He literally said two men, or oh, two women, oh, you know. And it made my friend so uncomfortable who grew up in this church. He got up, he looked at his mama, he said, "I'm coming." He walked out, his mama walked out, his grandmother that was sitting in the audience, she walked out too. And that friend to this day still don't go to church. And he lost his mom, he lost his grandmother, and now he's talked about going to church and wanting to be in church or, you know, visit. He is so afraid of being judged. Yeah. Who has an anointing to sing and serve and be in the choir? He just won't go. Because that one sermon.
Dear the man.
10 years later, we still having this conversation of being scared to go to church.
That's one of the things that I dealt with growing up in church, especially being in the denomination I'm a part of. Hearing those messages and sermons, and people, I don't think leaders understand the power they have when they say those things. Mm-hmm. And what it does to a kid who doesn't know themselves, and what it does to a parent, because you have parents who don't know how to talk to their kid about finding themselves, and they feel like they have to believe or say what the pastor has just said. You come home and can be in you, and you're like, "I just want to be loved. I just want to be accepted. I don't even know who I am right now. Can you, like you said, walk with me? Can you walk with me through this journey of finding who I am?" And I was sitting here thinking about when you said the pastor got up and talked about sin and sexuality and all that. I'm grateful that before my grandfather passed, that he and I were able to have our one-on-one conversation. And he has an opinion about sexuality and I have my opinion, but we were able to come to a understanding that, Sherman, you're my grandson. I love you regardless. And I want you to have, he's always told me that, I want you to have your personal issue with God, not via me, not via the church, not via your parents, but find it for yourself. And to this day, that helps me to continuously believe. Because at one point, I was done. I've had this. This is y'all call love? Jeez.
Right.
Wow.
But him saying that and who he was to me in my life, that made me believe even more. That, you know what, it may have taken this long, but we got here. And I want parents to understand to allow your kids to be themselves and to walk with them through that journey.
Wow, that's right.
You got to be who you were.
Hello.
Why not give them that opportunity?
I don't
don't know if they had a chance to learn that. You know what I mean? Because their generation taught them to be that way.
That way, absolutely.
Now, so now, where we are, we're not that way. It's open. You know what I mean? I almost teared up what he just said. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's how sensitive I am to stuff right now.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
Right.
But we stand also, we have to
adjust.
Give our men in the church, straight, gay, whatever, space. The avenue to express themselves.
To be.
You can't be a woman who tells their son, stop crying, dust it off, you okay, but then you get married to a man, why he don't talk to me? Why he ain't showing his emotion? You've taught me not to.
Told me not to.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do?
That's what it meant.
Some expression is beneficial for you.
Yeah.
But not, but when I come from a hard, long day and I want to cry on your shoulder, girl, he's soft.
But it's to your point, Sherman, it's manhood in general. We're so, and I know, you know, we're in a point in time in history, to your point, we're breaking these boundaries that has been on us as men, especially in our religious spaces. But as men, like, we've been so, like, we're looked at to operate a certain, you got to operate a certain way, especially when it comes down to expressing yourself to the God you love. You got to operate a certain way.
I want to ask you, you guys, just straight guys.
Let's do it. What's that?
besides being in the choir, you guys, I feel like, what, you guys have another avenue of being involved in the church. You guys can be deacons, you can be ushers, be security at the church.
You preach.
You can be, I'm a bearer.
Wow.
As gay men, you can sing the choir. That's all you can do.
Worship leader. There's just the music.
You can't go, we can't go to singles ministry.
Sure.
Usher board? Nah. You the problem? Not around kids.
You can't be
an
usher.
I did it inside.
Yeah. I know, okay.
How do you guys feel being able to maneuver through the different departments of church?
Get it me.
Never want to be an usher. I've always been in the singing ministry, so that's a good question, though. Because again, I don't know.
Gotcha. Wow.
What about you?
I think for me, man, what I don't understand is my answer to your question would have been different back in my day than it is today.
20 years. At least.
In 2025, I don't understand no parts of that struggle.
Nope. Okay.
Because everything is so accepted. We talked about that in the last podcast. Mm-hmm. Everything is accepted today. So if it's accepted, then where's the struggle? Ain't nobody tripping about somebody gay singing in the choir like they did back in my day.
Right.
I
mean, ain't nobody tripping. You know, community choir, that was a community choir phase that most community choirs was in.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to a community choir concert and you see some gay guys singing, as long as the community choir is killing when they supposed to kill and worshiping me to death when they supposed to worship, then I ain't tripping about that. Yeah. So it's not viewed with the same. And I know God is telling me to go here and ask you, but it's not viewed with the same disdain.
Yes. Yes.
Today as it was back then. It was frowned upon in this establishment back in the day.
Absolutely.
But I mean today, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not, you know, just the fact that all of us together, I feel like I've been knowing y'all as long as I've been knowing Raymond and Larry. Just in the little time that we've been together.
Yeah.
So it's more it's not frowned upon like he gay. Or you know, it's not even looked at, well, let me say, by some people. Some people are just ignorant. And they just gonna look at it, I don't care what year it is, they gonna look at it ignorantly. But for the most part, you know, I don't really get it. And a lot of that is kind of what Larry was talking about before. Some of the stuff I just didn't see. Y'all have brought so much, to the forefront for me. Cause like Larry was saying, and it probably has a lot to do with us being a little bit older than y'all, but I just didn't.
No, it don't. I swear to God.
I just didn't see it, though.
If we had a 30-year-old heterosexual male, like, it'd be, because I look at it like this. Go with me, y'all. We in this car now. We've been in this car.
Yeah, we went out.
So if you have, honestly, if you have been fortunate enough to have a lived experience that operates strictly off the way that society has said it should operate, it takes extra empathy and care to see through the lens of somebody who don't have your lived experience. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I feel like y'all are doing now. Right. You know what I'm saying? And so for the pastors and the ministers and even just the lay members who you've had the luxury of, it's a privilege, you've had the luxury of having a lived experience that's accepted as right in community, regardless of what you believe the Word of God says about this, Word of God says, because I know that's always the answer, what the Word of God says, but still how you treat people. But if you have the luxury to have a lived experience that's celebrated, that's taken as right, mm-hmm. It takes an extra effort to see you ain't the only one, dog. you ain't that the only lived experience, and it's easy to just chalk it up as, oh, niggas need to get right. Mm-hmm. They don't want to live right. They don't want to get right. No, like until we have conversations like this, until we get into the nuance of how people feel, because like I pick strong men to be in this conversation specifically, but it's men who are not as strong as these men that sit here who think about suicide, who have committed suicide, who've gotten themselves caught up, who don't even fool with church at all because the church is full of sissies. Ain't messing with any of that, you know, but this is a conversation that we're having now. So I appreciate y'all being willing to hear and listen to this. And my prayer and my heart goes to the institution itself. You know, if nothing else with this conversation, like my heart and my prayers go to, and it's five real men sitting right here on this couch in this living room, yes, sir, right now. Yes, sir. And we are sitting here like beckoning like the institution, because we love it. All of us love it. You know, when I sent the topic out to them, they all, you know, like right now, yes, no doubt, bro. So I said that to say, bro, we gotta have these conversations.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely. And as we wrap, I just wanna hear from y'all a little bit just about how y'all feel about this moment, because man, shoot.
I wanna say appreciate you for bringing this topic to the forefront, and because sometimes we don't have the space, the safe space, to talk about our lived experiences, and this has given me the gumption and the power and the bravery to go beyond this living room and talk about this subject with other people, with family members, with friends, with people who've experienced what I've experienced and who don't have the words to say to convey how they were treated or whatnot. But I definitely want to thank you for this experience, and it's been healing for me, so yeah.
Wow.
It's been very therapeutic for me and inspired and eye-opening, because I know how I feel, and coming from a well-established church with a bunch of straight men who I love hearing, like I love hearing, absolutely. To hear the insight and from the lens of other straight men of what their, you know, their awareness, or what they don't, or their own struggle,
right,
or their own insight on it, because a lot of times we can get caught up in our feelings and our emotions about things, thinking no one cares and no one you know, loves us and this, but they don't even know.
Right.
You know, and so just to know that, that has just blessed me just tremendously just today. Just being able to hear and know really just where they are and where they stand on it. And I feel like we were able to learn and teach each other things from all those straight to gay, still four different walks of life, five different walks of life. And I too, just like Sharon, I just commend you for being unapologetically you and bold enough to stand out and say, hey, we're going to talk about this. Because coming from somebody that go to church every Sunday, you know, pay my but I mean, I love the Lord, but I get a check too. But just the fact that it being that foundation was put in you, a lot of people just give up on the church.
Yeah.
And say, I won't have that conversation. I won't, you know, we just talk and complain behind. But for you to be bold enough to say, hey, I'm going to get four motherfuckers together and grew up in church, and this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So that's where my head and my heart is.
Wow.
So.
Yeah.
I appreciate Raymond Henderson for inviting me to this podcast, because when he said it, when he asked me, I was like, I was very nervous.
Yeah.
I didn't know where it was going to go. When I got here first and we started talking, I got comfortable. You know what I'm saying? Just, we were just talking on different topics. You know, so yeah, it's been an eye-opener. Now, I'm not going to say that I was not, what's the word I want to use, to deny what I saw in the past growing up, because it wasn't identified with it, but it's identified now.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, it's been an eye-opener for me. But in the meantime, mothers, that's your sons, daughters, sing with the choirs.
Wow.
Let them grow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Let them grow.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Do not hide, do not hide from them, because they're going to find out later.
Mm-hmm.
So let them be exposed to it now.
Yes.
It's going to be fine, but you still be their mother, and if the father's still there, be there for the father. Be there for them too. So hey, let them sing. Let them be a part of a group. That's how we grow.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's how we. That's what we're talking about now. Yes. What's going on? Yeah. So hey, I pray for you, your families, and your daughters and your sons. Hey, do it. Let them sing. Can it be?
Let them sing. Let them sing, please.
I would like to interject real quick.
Come on.
I just want to say I am honored to be sitting next to like the iconic, legendary, straight community choir. There we go. I watched him as a kid. He was the straight man in a community choir.
There he goes. The comedian as he is. Thank you, sir.
Get it, be.
Come on, preach.
Preach.
No, you got some words.
I got a word in my spirit.
Come on. Let it flow. Let it flow.
Look, man. Raymond knows, you know, the love and the respect that I've had from him all the way back to our New Direction days. This has been, and you said the word, it's been therapeutic.
Yes,
for me.
It has.
You know, it's a trip when you think you know some stuff, and then somebody gives you knowledge, and you're like, damn, I really didn't know this. I really didn't know what I thought that I knew. So this has been, I don't want to say eye-opening, but it's been educational for me. I love the fact that, you know, God always gives Raymond, you know, topics, and then he gives him the direction to go with the topic. The four of us, you know, he didn't choose us by happenstance.
Absolutely.
You know, I know Raymond, so he prays about everything. So he prayed upon these four brothers. I already know, because I know you. So the fact that just in this short period of time, all of us have really bonded and, you know, either strengthened relationships that we've had or developed new relationships now is huge for me. You know, I admire you guys. I love seeing, you know, guys younger than me who, you know, are really pushing forward in the kingdom, even when pushing forward in the kingdom ain't really attractive, you know what I'm saying? You know, you guys are really pushing forward where in areas where it's pushed back. You know, Christianity ain't for the weak.
So let
me put a caveat to that. God meant for it to be for the weak. We the one that ain't made it for the weak. You know, we done took Christianity and denominations and we've turned it into something that God didn't mean it to be. So, you know, just to hear you guys pouring out your heart in the way that you did and hearing your experiences, man, has really, really been hugely therapeutic for me. I definitely hope this isn't the last time that all of us are together, man.
Absolutely.
For sure.
For sure.
And to Larry's point, for these mothers out here who are concerned about your son singing, let them.
Let them.
Let them. You know, there's a gift and there's an anointing in men doing anything that's related to Christianity, but especially singing. It's a special group of people, you know, who are in choirs. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the stigmatism, especially if your son is even remotely gifted. Please don't let him sit on that gift. You know, if they want to sing, you know, you pray for them, you pray over them, and let them be able to sing. Let them do what they have to do. And worst case scenario, come talk to us.
Yes.
And we'll come to your family. But I think this has been excellent. We definitely hope that you guys were able to get out of it what we put into it. And I'm looking forward to his next podcast.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm going to do this. Before we close out, I'm going to speak this prophetically. We're going to need a whole room to hold men.
Yeah.
That want to and desire boys and men to have the conversation because we need affirmation, bro.
Yeah.
We need self-esteem. We need confidence.
For sure.
And we're closing out, but for the mothers and even the men who's watching, and you struggling with whether you got a gift of singing, you got a gift of wanting to minister with your voice in song and in the choir. This is not about being straight or gay. It's not about any of it. It's about you loving God. And for whatever you are, however you are, being able to get highest to the Creator is what it's about. Like, and whatever he needs to correct, whatever he wants to correct, he's going to do it. You know, and this conversation has been excellent. Like, my heart is just full. This is like my 22nd podcast episode. Yeah, 22nd or 23rd.
Yeah, there we go.
Salute. Yeah. This is just like, for real, like, I'm starting the season out with this. And I thank y'all so much. Y'all, these are men I totally respect. I totally admire. I totally honor these men in this room, all of you, and I speak nothing but blessings, nothing but growth, nothing but great things. And y'all seeing our red cups, listen.
Don't get it twisted.
Don't get it twisted. But
a little Coca-Cola.
You know. But.
Okay.
Thank y'all so much for watching. Listen,
yeah.
Thank y'all for watching Ray Bridge and Hermes another episode. If you have not already liked or subscribed, like and subscribe and watch as we go forward. But this is Ray Bridge and Hermes, a place where the people get to hear you and the world get to see you. Peace.
Let's go, coach.
Y'all be blessed.
Let's go. Be blessed.